So, Luke, my intention with this finale episode was to make it more of a like reflective sort of looking back over the past 10 seasons. And
they're boring episodes. I don't like those episodes. Do you listen to Crossword?
Do I? I actually do.
Yeah. I do too. From time to time, they do a good one. And I don't think those episodes are recap and look back on what we've done are all that interesting. I want to talk about something else.
Okay, but I'm not saying just like let's go point by point and recap the season. It's more of like this reflecting. Like this is the end of 10
end of season
seasons.
10. Yep, yep. Cool.
All right, good well, on what's us. Your,
High
what's
five.
Your alt- Well, like if you're finishing, we have this whole season arc to what we've done from the beginning, right? And we've improved how we've done this. But like when you're finishing a season, like you need to have a finale of sorts. And to me, just having a, like a, I don't know, like I want some like ceremony to it.
Well, maybe for ceremony, we could thank our sponsors because genuinely, I don't think we'd be doing Crossword without that extra support.
No, it's been a big deal over the past couple of seasons. So, yes, let's start with that. A special thanks to our sponsors. This season's sponsors included Big Scoots, the folks over at Independent Analytics and EventCoy. If you go to the Crossword website and click on any of their logos for Season 10, you'll go straight to a special landing page that each of them have put up, and they have some exclusive offers for Crossword listeners. And, yeah, we couldn't have done this without them. There's a fair amount of effort that goes in behind the scenes, and I think the having sponsors to work with has just, it's add this. There's like a healthy pressure where it's like we got to make sure that we're delivering, and it's been good for me.
Also been good to... You know, it's easy when you work in WordPress to just get stuck in your ways of like, this is who I host with. This is how I do it. This is what plugins I use.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so it's good for us who maybe might get a bit entrenched in our ways to sort of open our minds to other possibilities, which I know you're using Big Scoots now, right?
Yep, I'm using it to host my blog, and you're right. It was in the process. I hadn't really changed hosting or tried anything new in a long time, so it gave me a chance to both experience their support and just see, like, okay, what is another control panel? What does another setup look like? How does it work and function? And, I'm happy that I did that. It broadened my perspective. Same with the different plugins, right? Like, we're obviously... like with Independent Analytics, I had a chance to go in and actually play with it and see what this looks like. We've talked about analytics and tracking in the past, and mm-hmm. It was fun to see someone who's taking this privacy-centric approach to it. And with Leslie, who we've had on as a guest in the past.
Yeah, I've been using EventCoy on my wife's business website, and it's been going really, really well. It does the job, it stays quiet, and it works really nicely, great interface. And so, like, I'm happy. It's one of those plugins where... It's nice. I feel confident just setting it up and letting it go on what would otherwise be kind of a brochure site and not having to worry about it.
Yeah. So if we're not going to do a reflection and sort of looking back, what's your alternative?
I want to talk about AI, Jonathan, because like there's this term AI doomer, right? And that has a particular meaning.
Right.
It's like people who think AI is going to ruin the world and sort of is associated with people who maybe might be branded Luddites or maybe, you know, refuse to use AI. I could imagine myself being that kind of person, by the way, you know, like
I can too, actually.
I'm all out of social media. I'm all out of Google. Like I'm opinionated. I have opinions about this sort of stuff and I stick to it, but I'm not an AI doomer. I just wanted to talk about, though, this like sense of dread, this sense of AI doom. That's why I mentioned AI doomer, because this is different. What I want to talk about is different than that, but it feels like that would be the right word.
Okay. Right?
I've just noticed in the past 2 weeks that there's a lot of people who are like throwing in the towel and they're just going, you know what? AI's here. Whatever, we have to either get on board or just stop programming. And a lot of people who have just gone, ah, this is too hard to fight against. And I felt a lot of like giving up in the battle against AI in the last 2 weeks.
Interesting.
Now, I'm not against AI. I'm not saying that we even need to fight the battle in the first place, but I do love programming. And I think for me, that's where it sort of is coming from. You know, like I have this love of software engineering and doing it right. And right now it kind of feels like AI is, you know, oh, look, the monkey has learned how to use a hammer. You know, it's a little bit like that. I don't know if you ever have looked at vibe coded code. And I vibe coded something this week, right? I'm not against it. I did for personal use only. But if you actually look at the code, it is pretty terrible. And I just see a lot of people now like just throwing in the towel, just going, oh, we'll just let it do what it's going to do and we'll just give up. Our job has changed. Done. Bye.
Wait. So when you say it's terrible, can you just give me an example or a point of reference? Like, because you've got a lot of context for this. So like what's an example of how its output would be terrible?
At first glance, its output looks nice because it keeps coding standards, which yes. I like. Yes. That's nice. But if you actually look how it works, it goes in swings and roundabouts. Like it over-engineers every problem. It can't keep things simple. It misses a little bit of context over in that file, and therefore it redoes it in this other file. It's hard to put into words, Jonathan, but it's messy. It is, okay. Even though it's coding standards compliant.
I have a perspective on this. So I'm in my second quarter of university studies, and in one of my classes, it's a sociology class, and I was surprised at how what a strict stance the professor took at the opening on AI. And it's I get to see different classes on this, right? And so it was just this very strong like no AI for anything, like no none of your research. And the way the format works is you go through these materials, and at the end of the week you have to submit a discussion. You have to answer a discussion question. You have to post your answer before you see anyone else's, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the first week I was nervous about it. Like, what's this going to look like? And then I put a lot of effort into answering the question and sort of going through this process. And then when you take an exam, you're in this locked down like browser where you have to have your camera on all the time. You
can't have that.
Anything else.
That's like, it's terrible. It's so bad.
It's a terrible user interface. Like this whole thing. Right. And I met with the professor earlier this week, and we were talking about this because it's an interesting time in education. So first, what ended up happening is that I noticed that a lot of my other, like when I submitted my questions, it's very clear to me, Luke, that they're not using AI in their answers. And one of the reasons why it's clear is that a lot of it was actually pretty poorly written. Like you can see it's like a human's trying to, I'm a little bit out of it, but just looking at the answers, I was like, wait a minute. I put way more effort than it appears that most of the others actually put. So great. You didn't use AI. But where are we going from here? And in my own experience with writing, it was impressive at first, like thinking back a year ago to some of the early ChatGPT stuff. And it's like, okay, this, you outputted something like good here. But for me, I find that I use it less and less for like help with writing. And there are things where I found that it's valuable, but there's something that's hard to put your finger on it. Like it looks really good. I'm seeing a similar thing to what you're describing with vibe coding, where it looks really good at the writing level at first, but there's something, what I would describe as like soulless to it.
Yeah, but the AI apologists, they're just going to say, oh, yeah, it's getting better. It'll get there.
You know? Right.
And I don't know if that's true. There is a case to be made that we've used all of the world's available or 99% of the world's available training data in training our current models, and maybe we'll see some incremental improvements as we refine our inference methods and as we refine our training methods. But really, we're not going to see the huge leaps forward in AI that we've sort of plateaued. There's a case to be made there. I don't know. You know, you're talking about writing, and it reminded me of something I heard Brandon Sanderson say recently,
Oh yeah.
Are you a Brando Sando Fando?
Yes. Yes. I really enjoyed the Mistborn series. I haven't read a lot of his other work, but Mistborn was great.
For those who don't know him, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's the most popular currently writing fantasy author in the world. You think that's fair?
He's certainly one of the, yes, he's right up there, if not the most. Very prolific. Yeah,
so well-known author, very well-known. And he was talking about AI, and he said something that really stuck with me, which is that AI can write, and maybe it can't really write books right now, but maybe it'll get there to where it can one day write books. But the reason why humans engage with art, with books, with movies, maybe with software, is because the person who created the art was changed in the process. And in a way, the art itself is like a receipt, you know? And it's a receipt of like, I did the hard work to get here, and now I am honoring that by reading it and by being the viewer of this art. And I really like that paradigm. He uses the analogy of data. Have you seen Star Trek?
I have, yeah.
Next Generation.
Yes.
There's an android in it called Data. And he, you know, is interested in what is it like to be human. And he looks into this, and this is his arc throughout the whole series. I want to become more human, even though I'm a robot. And he learns to play some instruments, and he makes art. And this is, you know, some things he works on throughout the series. And the thing about it is that, like, I think when Data does that, we can honor that art, and we can say, yeah, that's interesting to me. And, you know, that art doesn't feel robotic, because Data, the android, was changed in the process of making that art. He learned from it. He grew from it. But the very nature of the way LLMs work, right, on the mathematical level, is any inference does not change the model. Mm-hmm. It's contextualized. It's limited to that one session. And then it's forgotten. And here's the thing, to link it back to WordPress. What is the core value of WordPress if it is not code is poetry?
Oh, yeah. And at the heart of it, it was about publishing, right? Like taking your ideas, taking the things that you're creating and getting it out there to share. I really like that idea of it being a receipt. And that's at the heart of what I think bothers a lot of the professors. And for me as a student, is this, and even in our discussions in the past about like vibe coding and the plugin, like plugin review, like when the receipt is basically the person put almost no effort into mm-hmm. this. It's like, here's the receipt for their almost no effort.
Exactly. Right?
Then it's like, I don't really appreciate that. And for me, I remember the feeling several times, like I put in the work. It took me hours to be able to get to where I could write what I wrote in response to one of the prompts, the question that the professor wrote, right? And I wrote that, and I was like, you know what? I'm actually satisfied with this. Like, this is and it was the change that I experienced by going through the materials to reach the conclusion that I did. I did a test, Luke, where I asked ChatGPT, the 5.2 model, to give me like a sample answer based on like the inputs.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as I saw it, like my heart kind of, I was like, I felt this like almost a revulsion to it, where it's like, I could see that it was good. I could see that it like, it was able to ingest the materials. And I was like, and I just like, I don't want to read it. I don't want to even engage with it further.
We are at a point in time, aren't we? Like, it feels like we are at a turning point. And I think that there are lots and lots of people, even within the WordPress project, that are very excited about what AI can now do and how it changes our workflows and our worlds. But also I think that this revulsion experience, this feeling that you had, then that I have when I'm looking at an AI-generated plugin, feels icky, it feels wrong. And I think that that is as fundamentally human as storytelling.